Halifax-based filmmaker Taylor Olson's St. John's set movie, What We Dreamed Of Then, will have a special showing, along with a question and answer session, in St. John itself on February the 12th. Having been described as the largest English-spoken film to be shot in New Brunswick in more than a decade, the movie was filmed in St. John in 2024 and tells the story of a swim coach and father who, getting into debt, loses an apartment and turns to living out of their van to survive. Olson spoke with Local 107.3 FM about the origins of the story and the importance of telling a sensitive story in a realistic and humanising way, as well as how the city of St. John played a role in the making of the film.
In university, I volunteered with this group downtown, and we kind of supplied the folks who were houseless and just chat with them. And I created a lot of like pretty strong acquaintances with people who were houseless downtown through sort of doing this work. A bunch of time passed, and I had spent a summer on my own coaching swimming, living in a van. So I wouldn't want to equate it to being houseless, but I'd spent a summer learning what it's like to live out of a van and all the complexities that come with that. And years passed between sort of these two unrelated events. And I went through a separation with a previous relationship and with my daughter. And during that separation, I sort of jumped around on people's couches for a little while until I sort of settled down on my own. And then more time passed and COVID hit. And there's this young guy that I'd met downtown Halifax. He was outside Neptune Theater where my partner had been doing a play, and I got to know him pretty well. And so when COVID hit and I saw him again, maybe 4 months into COVID, he was really emaciated and cognitively, like he wasn't there, and he was really changed by COVID. And so all of these sort of random different events in my life sort of converged for me into the story about what happens to people when they lose their family, they go through some sort of an event like this, and how they get lost inside the system, and the sort of the shame that can come with that for people who become invisibly houseless and, you know, are stigmatized. And, you know, one last thing to sort of add to that is that what I was interested in was the story of someone who does sort of have a job and still ends up being in this situation, which is like so many people.
Why did you end up coming to this part of the world to film it? What was the kind of like, yeah, what drew you here, basically?
Steve Foster, who is the CEO of Hemmings House, I was directing commercials for them for a while. So I'd spent a lot of time in St. John, and they're very connected to giving back to the community. And so they asked what I was working on after my first feature, Bone Cage, and I was saying I was working on this, and it felt like a good fit. When I was spending time in St. John, the thing that really sort of drew me to shooting there was that the tent encampments were very individual. It was almost like they were set up into different, their own little communities, 6 to 10 tents together spread across the whole city. And there were a lot of people who it seemed like were invisibly houseless. We talked to them and go into the encampments with workers. Like we work with a group called Fresh Start, who helps people sort of find their next fresh start. And it was a lot of people who were invisibly houseless. So it just really connected to the story. And there's something about the industrialization of St. John. It's like this really weird dichotomy where like you're downtown and uptown, I guess, actually, sorry. It's like, you know, the set of Gilmore Girls. And then you walk outside of that and it's this industrialized city where, yeah, people are hurting. And there's like, you know, there's a history of unemployment. And so it's sort of all those reasons sort of made it sort of a fit.
What was the feeling you were trying to kind of like get across from the different locations that you actually picked?
One of the things that I was really interested in for the mall in particular, since we spend so much time outside of there, was just this feeling that it was not used as much as more updated malls, and that it was a little bit like isolating. It was a place that Gideon would find like, okay, I feel like I might be able to be safe here and not as many people come to this mall. So we were looking for different locations that sort of captured the feeling of a mill town that has gone through the sort of industrialization process where like industry isn't as strong as maybe it was years ago. You know, there's shots of things like the mill early on in the film sort of give this feeling of displacement is kind of, I guess, the goal. But something about St. John that was amazing in comparison to shooting in Halifax is that the access was amazing because we could shut down a mall parking lot for like many, many days without much issue. And people were excited for us to come and film there because not a lot of filming takes place. And so it felt like one of the really nice things was the community really opened up and sort of let us in and created this sort of great access. But also like when they'd hear what the story is about, it's like they gave even more access because they cared about the story. So it was interesting, like, to be in a place where there's this houselessness issue, there's this housing crisis. I mean, there is kind of everywhere, but like where it's really obvious in the community that there's a housing crisis. And yet the people that we talk to seem to want to be able to help and do something about it. I don't know if that's always the case.
I noticed in the synopsis, he, they pronoun for the character of Gideon. And I'm just wondering about issues of gender, kind of roles, expectations, and masculinity, how that kind of comes into the character's experiences.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, that's all sort of pulled from my own life and experience. Those are my pronouns. I'm bisexual, but I have a family, you know. So, like, I kind of was pulling, just stealing stuff from my own life. So, I mean, in the film, really kind of what I wanted was this character who just is, they just exist as this person who is queer in this situation and with this family that's sort of falling apart and they're trying to keep the threads on. So it's not really like a big commentary on that part, but the thing that is a through line throughout the whole film is this idea that Gideon feels the pressure, which is very much like a traditionally masculine thing, to provide for his family, and this sort of failure in doing so and not creating enough income for his family, but also this idea that that income is tied to happiness. I don't want to give any spoilers away, but he makes choices that are sort of drastic in order to change their situation, because of the pressure that comes with that. And so I think where that lands is that you see someone who is pretty clearly queer, who is in this heterosexual relationship, who feels these pressures as well, and that like queerness doesn't make him invisible to those sort of pressures or problems.
How important is it to you to tell stories from perspectives of people that may be less represented or less heard from in media? And kind of like what film can actually
Yeah.
do, how film can think about difficult and multifaceted issues maybe.
Yeah, I think it's hugely important. I feel like my position in it is like a small one, because I'm kind of someone who is represented a lot still in media comparatively, that's for sure. But my goal has always been to find, like you're saying, those sort of like little invisible stories that sort of fit in the margins of where I connect to it from my own life. I think art has the power to create empathy more than I used to believe that it could create more change than I do now. I'm sad to say I'm getting become like a tiny bit cynical about that, but at least create empathy, and that empathy sort of engine can help connect people to people that they don't feel close to, and help create change. This type of work or any kind of art form just creates the opportunity for connection. Art can bring people together and create this feeling of being seen or seeing the world from someone else's point of view. And I think, although that's not like direct change, that can change people's hearts, and that can lead them to make change in their own lives. And so, you know, one of the goals of this is that just community leaders or politicians, we're trying to get those sort of people out, as well as the general audience, to come see the movie, because maybe just seeing a person experience it rather than the statistic can make a difference. Yeah. I hope that what they come away with is more of an understanding of the experience of someone who's unhoused, hopefully stripping away a layer of judgment that I think most of us sit with. And yeah, connecting to and having more compassion and empathy for people in that situation.
And the other thing I did want to ask is what you've learned through the process of writing and making it and actually showing this film, has it changed you?
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely have. I mean, especially the process of going into the communities and the encampments and such, and chatting with folks and learning about their histories. Like, it was a lot to take in. Like, you know, there's so many people from different walks of lives. Like, it's pretty quick how people can end up in situations like this. Here's a specific example. So many folks, especially when it gets cold, right, they use aluminum cans and they put pure alcohol in it and they burn it. So we shot 2 days to shoot our winter footage before we came back from the main block of shooting. And on the second day of the 2 days, or the first day, a young man had this in his tent, and it had caught fire, and he'd passed away. And so there was a vigil like the night that we wrapped that block. You know, the inspiration for this came from real people, but there was something about that that was just so much more real than anything I had experienced in the process of writing the film or researching and developing it. With so many things in our world, it's just so easy to be like, I have an idea of this theoretically, but when you get close to it, it's, I found that to really change me. And then when we went into the next block, it was like I felt like I was emotional all the time. Like, you know, we put the head into the back of the van, and the production designer chose this blanket, and I'm like crying because the blanket felt perfect. You know, it's just, I never experienced that making a movie or doing anything. So there was something about the process of making the movie that just made the idea of being unhoused more tangible to me.
The showing of What We Dreamed Of Then takes place on Thursday, February 12th at the Imperial Theatre. If you have a tip, an idea, or a story you think the community should hear about, you can contact local 107.3 FM at iona@cfmh.ca. This is Iona Cove for local 107.3 FM and the Local Journalism Initiative.